waiting patiently on the line. Morris Misolowski, who was our business futurist. We had him on the program yesterday, Morris, and we said that we'd get him back today just to get his thoughts on the Australian budget, the budget that some predicted would be a horror budget. It didn't work out to be a horror budget. In fact, quite stimulatory in its content. Morris, how are you?
I'm excellent, Phil.
Yeah, now, so any surprises for you?
I don't think there were many surprises across the board. It seemed to be pretty much business as usual. They bleaked pretty much everything and made us aware of what they were going to do. So we really couldn't overreact today. There were some nice things in the budget as well, though. There were some interesting things from a futurist viewpoint, which is obviously mine. And that, for me, one of them was the retirement age increasing to 67 years of age.
Good idea.
I think it's a necessary idea. The reality is that we are an ageing population. If we move forward roughly into the year 2020, which is when this is going to come about, we're going to have about 4 million people in Australia over 65 years of age. And if we move into 2050, which is when it's going to hit us in a big way, we're going to have almost 5.5 million people over 80 out of a population of 26. So roughly 1 in 5 people after the year 2020 will be over the age of 65. We're going to have to do something. These people, I'll be one of them, will be living longer and working longer. So we're certainly going to have to address it. I think we need to do a lot more, though. But it's certainly a good start on it.
Yeah.
What about quality of life and health as you age? The reality is also that there have been more health problems.
There have been. I think the health problems have been exacerbated. They've been the same health problem. We just have more people getting older and suffering from them, if that makes sense. And we're definitely going to come up against that. But we're finding that with innovation, with medical technology and research, that many of those ailments or illnesses are now being tamed or cured. And we're going to see a lot more of that over the next 10 or 15 years. But I agree. We need more money in that area to make that happen.
Yeah. Carer's allowance has gone up by $600 here in Australia. Paid maternity leave, they're all different social issues here. But 1 million unemployed by next year, that's quite a big...
That's the prediction. Look, I'm still not sure that we're going to be that badly off. I mean, every person unemployed is a tragedy, goes without saying. But I'm not convinced that we're going to hit 1 million. What I thought was interesting was the talk that in a couple of years when we get over the other side of this, somewhere around 2011, 2012, we're going to have 10 years of prosperity. 10 years of absolute prosperity, because that's what we're banking on to pay off this huge debt that we have.
Do you think 4.5% growth that's predicted for what 2012 is over the top? Certainly a lot of commentators are saying it. They think it is.
I think it is, but I think it is in that notion, but I think also the cumulative notion that there's 10 years of that ahead is what frightens me, because we just haven't seen that in any economic cycle. We know that somewhere within that 10 years, and the rule of thumb's always been 7 years, something's going to go awry, as we've seen now. So I think to bank on all of that decade being a terrific time is not a truism, and certainly 4.5% is going to be, you know, an interesting climb for us to be able to achieve.
You said a second ago, you're talking about where we're going to be in so much in the future. You are a business futurist.
Mm-hmm.
You are. If we have rooted out, like America especially, has rooted out the problems with the subprime market, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae's and lending to people who can't pay back, if all that's been sorted, is there any reason to think that there will be another crash in 10 years after that?
I'm not convinced they've been sorted yet either, by the way. There's a whole range of other people that have Class 1 loans or Class A loans that we're going to see in America default. Europe seems to be having some issue at the moment too. I mean, I'm not normally a doom and gloom merchant, but I'm not sure that we've sorted this thing out. I think we're over the worst of it, but I still think there's a little bit more to go. And yes, I do think that we're unfortunately going to wear a cyclical type of person. I mean, that's what happens to us, that we tend to forget the bad old days that we're living in now when prosperity comes back, and we tend to go back to old habits, maybe in new guises, but it just seems to be what happens.
One of the analysts we've had on this program did say that it seems that we have a recession that matches the lifespan of stockbrokers. So the old hands who have seen a recession have stopped it from happening again. They don't sort of overheat, while the new people that come through who think they're kings of the world, when the stock markets or the stockbroking firms are full of these young people, that's when we get a crash.
Absolutely. But do you know who drove those young people? It's the old peoples like me. Because that's what happened in America. I mean, much of the root of what happened was that these young'uns came out of university full of beans, ready to do things, came up with some wonderful schemes to make money, and the people ahead of them said, what a great idea, go forth and do it. And that led us to a lot of our issues. So absolutely, I agree with that.
So from that, you're suggesting that even the older people don't learn?
Oh, we don't learn, no. We just pass it on to another generation.
Okay. All right, Morris. So basically, it wasn't a horror budget. Were you really expecting a horror budget? I mean, a horror budget
wasn't.
Is a contractory one, isn't it? We're stimulatory.
No, I wasn't. By all the leaks that we had, it was never going to be that. I mean, they were trying to temper us down. One of the other things I thought was interesting was the money that they gave to the ATO, the Australian Taxation Office. They gave them $70.9 million to ensure that small business is coughing up as they should, and they're talking about that being early identification and engagement so that they can find that we are or aren't paying our taxes. So $71 million to do that, but they are spending $100 million over the next 4 years to help small business stay afloat.
Right.
So on one hand, they're paying to find out small business isn't able to keep up with their debt, and on the other hand, they're funding it. I mean, what's going on there? Talk to small business and help them out of this situation.
All right. Morris, thanks for your time this morning. It is great to speak to you. Morris Misolowski, who is a business futurist. Thanks very much for your time.
A pleasure.
Okay, see ya.